Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Tuesday, September the 28th, 2021. 13 and a half minutes here on WWGH Radio. And did want to remind everybody that this coming weekend, October 2nd to 3rd, is the last weekend for the Tiffin Flea Market. Also, do want to remind everybody that the Meet and Dine with the Presidents of the United States of America event is coming up on Saturday, November 6th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Dayspring Westland Church, 2431 Marion Mount Gilead Road. If you would like tickets to this event, reservations must be made by Thursday, October 21st by calling 740-387-4255. That's 740-387-4255, and it should be a great event. I believe general seating is $35. VIP seating is sold out at this point, so it's general seating for $35, but the Historical Society always does a great job with these events. And at this particular event, the speaking presidents will be George Washington, Martin Van Buren, Warren G. Harding, and John F. Kennedy. Presidents in attendance will be James Madison, U.S. Grant, Chester Arthur, Benjamin Harrison, Theodore Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, Harry Truman, Dwight Eisenhower, and First Lady Barbara Bush. Master of Ceremonies will be James M. Cox, 46th and 48th Governor of Ohio. And the special guest speaker will be the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. That will all take place on Saturday, November 6th. And what's great about that event is they prepare meals that the presidents actually ate. And that's a lot of fun. That I attended the dinner once and really had a lot of fun with that. So I know it will be a big success, as it is every year. And a lot of people get a lot of enjoyment going to that event. Momentarily, we're going to be joined here, our monthly visit, with the mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Schertzer, and lots to talk about, because since we spoke last, which I guess now was a little more than a month ago, a lot of things have happened and updates certainly are needed. So we turn our attention this morning to local politics, I guess, as it were, the local scene here. And for many of you, about a month ago, there was a lot of news coming in because of an issue with the city auditor's office. Now, the city auditor was at that time off with COVID. I believe he still is. We'll get confirmation on that at this point. But there was a special city council meeting held. I attended that meeting. And basically, what we learned from the state auditor's office was that the books in Marion County don't look as if they can be reconciled. Now, this is important. This is 2020's books. This is important because this needs to be done by September 30th. Now, this, all that was happening late August, early September. Now, September 30th is just hours away, couple days away at this particular point. And if the books are not reconciled to somebody's satisfaction, I think the state's satisfaction, the city could be in jeopardy, I want to stress that, in jeopardy of losing a lot of money, millions of dollars that help support Marion Area Transit, subsidize it, the Marion Senior Center, police officers, firefighters. That was back in August, and Columbus Media came down, and it was a big fall to roll, and we got through it. But now that we're hours away from this deadline, it is a pleasure to talk, as we do every month on the fourth Tuesday of the month, to the mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Schertzer. Mayor, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Doing well. Last we spoke, about a month ago, it was the day of, I believe, the special meeting, and then we spoke right after the special meeting in regard to the auditor's office. September 30th is just a little over 48 hours away at this point, this deadline. Is September 30th still an important deadline?
Well, it's an important deadline because that's what the state auditors informed me of in the meeting that I had with them on August, I believe it was 23rd. I don't have my notes in front of me, so I'll do the best I can to recall some of the meetings that I have had. I think the important point to make here this morning, Scott, to your listeners is, why are we even dealing with this? This isn't something that the city should have to even be concerned about. We do audits every single year. We know they're coming. And this year, it just seems as if the auditor's office was ill-equipped, ill-prepared to deal with the audit. I went through my emails and found everything to do with the state audit. And I go back to April in an email where our city auditor was questioning the state auditors on the reconciliation. I think we need to be very clear. To the best of my knowledge, the books may be reconciled, and I stress may, but the issue is they're not reconciled to the specifications that the state auditor wants them to be. And that's the most important thing, is getting them reconciled to the specifications that the state auditor wants.
Now, is that the important deadline of September 30th, having the books reconciled to what the state auditor wants?
I don't know that that's a deadline imposed by the state auditor. We've already blown through all the deadlines that the state auditor wanted to have the audit completed by. I think just to give you a frame of reference here, if I'm not mistaken, last year's audit was completed in late June, and here we are in late September. So we're blowing past deadlines as if they don't mean anything to anybody. And I think that is also a concern that I have, that we have to now be cognizant of these deadlines and what could potentially happen if we do not meet these deadlines.
The last time, and I want to get to these deadlines, the last time we spoke, I believe it was right after the big meeting, special meeting that was held in regard to the books and what was going on with the auditor's office. And at that meeting, it was said that that Thursday, I believe that meeting happened on a Tuesday, that Thursday, the state auditors were going to meet with Martin Watts in the auditor's office because City Auditor Landon is out with COVID, or was out with COVID at that point, and that at that meeting, they were going to be able to figure something out. Would they be able to fix these books? Would they not be able? Would they be able to get to something of reconciliation? And I believe that's where the September 30th date came from, that are we going to be able to do this by September 30th? Now, in the Star, we read that Martin Watts had said to the Star, I think we're going to be able to do this. Well, with hours away, what do you know about this situation?
Actually, and unfortunately, very little. The mayor's role in the state audit is minimal, and it's always been that way. I recognized that when I was a city councilman. The auditor and his staff are key principals in the state audit. I've recognized that in my tenure as mayor. We certainly participate in the process. We provide documentation when the state auditors ask for it. Many times the state auditors will ask the city auditor, and then the city auditor will ask the administration to provide documentation. Let's say it's on a particular grant of some sorts. So we'll provide that information. But we really play almost an insignificant role in the state audit that goes on, where the city auditor and his staff are the key principals involved. So I don't really know what happened at that meeting. To be honest with you, I wish I did know. I wish I could tell you that the state auditors are on site, they're performing the audit. Remember now, there's two parts to the state audit. There's the GAAP team, and then there's the audit team. The GAAP is traditionally completed first, and then they hand off their information that they have found to the state audit team, and then they complete the audit, and then it's filed with the auditor of state, and then you can meet all your deadlines when it comes to bonding, when it comes to interest rates, and things of that nature. Now, I'm under the impression, but I've not seen documentation, that when it comes to our bonds, that the Deputy Auditor Martin Watts has been working with our bond counsel to ensure that those documents are filed in a timely manner. I got an email late last week, so I'm hopeful that those documents did get filed in a timely manner.
Has the line of communication between City Auditor Landon or Deputy Auditor Watts and your office opened up any in the last month?
The line of communication with Deputy Auditor Watts has always been an open line. It's been a very good line of communication. I had to meet with Deputy Auditor Watts last week on a number of different things that have transpired in the auditor's office when it comes to payroll and things of that nature. And look, those are why we have regular meetings, because those should be issues that could be resolved quickly and easily. We have a new payroll clerk. It takes some time to get used to all the intricacies of being a payroll clerk for the City of Marion. So we work with them in ensuring that those things get rectified, so our employees get their payrolls and their paychecks in a timely manner when they're supposed to, because many of them, that's in their bargaining contract. But it's some of the deductions and things that are withheld within an employee's payroll. It's not the same across the board for every single employee. So it's a challenge for the payroll clerk, and we work very closely with Deputy Auditor Martin Watts on some of those issues as they arise to make sure that they don't continue. With the auditor himself, look, I haven't heard from him in well over a month. You know, I get asked all the time, does he have COVID? Does he still have COVID? I frankly don't know the answer to that. I have to make some presumptions here that he still is inflicted with COVID or the after effects of it. I just simply don't know, and it's not fair of me to give an assessment of his health condition at this point in time, because I have not spoken to him. But I think that that's maybe the bigger question, is why hasn't he reached out? As I've told you and your listeners before, when I had to quarantine, and I think it was late September, about a year ago, I called all the elected officials and told them I had to quarantine and why. Because the safety director had contracted COVID at that time, and I was exposed to him, as I am with all my directors, and so I quarantined out of an abundance of caution. Didn't get it. I also contracted COVID in late February, called the elected officials again, so they knew what was going on. That's just a professional common courtesy when you're in the kind of work that we're in, because we deal with the public and the things need to get done. The trash needs to get picked up. The police need to respond. And papers and documents still need to get filed within the city auditor's office.
When it comes to the auditor and the COVID situation, do we know the last time he was in the office?
I frankly don't. I'd only be ballparking if I said sometime in late August, mid-August. I don't have a definitive date. You know, once again, I think it's important to stress, because I still get this question, I am not the auditor's boss. He doesn't check in. He doesn't punch a time clock. I believe that the Ohio Revised Code stipulates that every 90 days, an elected official has to report into the office that they are holding. And I'm paraphrasing that Ohio Revised Code, of course. So I don't know when he was in his office last. I don't know what time he comes in. I don't know what time he leaves. And I don't know what days he is and isn't there. And again, I want your listeners to understand that that's not uncommon. I did not have that authority over the last auditor. Jack Kellogg didn't have it over the auditors that he served with. That's just the way municipal government is set up in a statutory city in the state of Ohio.
I think a lot of these questions from people in Marion and certainly from the media are coming from situations like the one we were faced a month ago. And as you just said, you do have a meeting or meetings with Deputy Auditor Watts. Conversations are had. And yes, it is possibly, we think, true. I have no reason to doubt it that Auditor Landon has COVID. But he did release a statement to the Marion Star and to us after the meeting, the special meeting back late August. So even if he wasn't able to speak or come into the office, no emails, nothing with you and your administration or anybody else that you're aware of.
That's correct. Not that I'm aware of, and definitely not me.
So I guess the question is, why is that? Because we know the statements are there.
Well, I guess you'd have to ask him why. I've stated on this program and many other programs before that I have a standing meeting on my calendar for the first Thursday of every month. And sometimes we make it and sometimes we don't. And look, I understand that maybe you can't make every one of those. So you reschedule and you try and make it because, again, that line of communication is important to deal with some of the things that I had to deal with Deputy Auditor Watts last week when it came to payroll. I don't know how to do payroll. It's not my responsibility to do payroll. So when an employee has an issue with their monthly or quarterly paycheck, monthly, bi-monthly, I guess it is, they need to contact the auditor's office to get it sorted out, to find out what's going on, why something didn't happen or did happen. So I really don't know why. That's a question for the auditor.
As this September 30th date, I think, was brought up in that special meeting last month as a date that things should be reconciled, and I do believe that the newspaper also reported that Martin Watts said he believed that the books could be reconciled to the state's satisfaction by September 30th. Knowing that's just a few days away, do you feel confident that's going to happen? Do you feel confident that we are out of peril after meeting with Mr. Watts last week?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because historically and traditionally, the state auditor teams come into City Hall. I know where they set up. I know where they sit. I can see them doing their audit. Now, with COVID, yeah, it's possible they're working remotely, but I don't know. And, you know, for an office that claims to be so transparent, there's nothing transparent about anything that happens in the city auditor's office. Transparency is just a word that's thrown around, and that's not what it should be about. We should know where we are in the state audit because of all the issues that have transpired, going all the way back to April when the city auditor was questioning the state auditor when it comes to the reconciliation. I've got three documents in my possession where we have asked for extensions on the state audit, and in every one of those requests, it references the reconciliation issues. So the city auditor has known since at least April of this year, and maybe beyond that, that there are issues with the reconciliation process. I don't know what they are. Those are questions that only the city auditor should be answering.
As we look ahead to September 30th, And again, that's only a date that was given during that meeting, the special meeting, and also given to the media when that meeting between Mr. Watts and the state auditors took place last month. If we just blow through September 30th and it proves to be not true that the books could not or did not or were not reconciled for the reasons you just stated, that you don't have confidence that that's going to be done this week, then what? Any repercussion, anything, or do we just keep on going down the road?
And that's a great question, because this has never happened in my tenure in Marion Municipal Government. So that's what I'm trying to do, is figure out what are the ramifications of missing these deadlines. And once again, I go back to my point early in our conversation this morning is, why are we even concerned about it? We've never blown through deadlines that I'm aware of. I know that in 2008, the audit was held up because the 2007 audit wasn't completed. So there are some things that can be done to ultimately complete an audit. But an audit is important not only for the executive branch and my department heads and my directors, because we're putting a 2022 budget together. It's also important for the legislative branch of municipal government, so they can rest assured that the money that's being brought in from the taxpayers is being spent correctly, deposited into the correct accounts, and everything is copacetic in the process on how we deal with the public's tax dollars. And that is what the taxpayer should be questioning, is are my tax dollars being spent appropriately if we do not have a clean audit?
And I just want to make this crystal clear again to the citizens of Marion who are listening. What is your confidence level that this is going to be fixed by Thursday?
You know, there was somebody that ran for national office about 12-plus years ago, and they ran on a campaign of hope, and they won. They won national office. I think you know who I'm referring to.
I certainly do.
But, you know, I can't run a city on hope. I need to know. I need to know that we have the revenue to put a 2022 budget together. I can't hope it's going to be there. My confidence level on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest level of confidence, I'm probably at a 1. I hope that they get it done. I hope it's a clean and good audit. I hope there isn't any money missing or placed in a wrong account or mispaid to somebody that shouldn't have been paid. We've already gone through that debacle where we didn't pay the federal income tax withholdings last year, which is still an unresolved issue. I hope it's all being done correctly. And it's an awful feeling to run a city and I'm going to ballpark it and say it's a $56 million total budget on hope and not knowing when I should know. These are questions that we shouldn't have to be asking right now. These are issues that we shouldn't have to be dealing with on September 28th.
When people say, like Mr. Watts, I believe, was quoted in the Star after he had his meeting with the state auditors about a month ago, when people say to the media, and I thought the Star did a great job with this one, we believe we can get this done, your confidence level 2 days away is at a 1. If we don't get that done, is that just a flat-out lie? Because this is becoming a problem as well, that people feel misled, not only the people in office, including city council and yourself, and I don't want to speak for you, but the citizens are starting to get really confused about people in offices saying things, and then we find out they aren't true.
So, and I definitely see that apathy among voters out there. And, you know, when voting rights are under attack, it's being harder to vote. You're absolutely right. I wish my confidence level was above a 5. I wish my confidence level was an 8, a 9, or even a 10. But when you're not transparent about what's going on in the city auditor's office, how can I have a high confidence level? I sincerely hope that what Martin Watts has said, I hope that he really believes it. And I think at this stage of the game, knowing Martin as I've gotten to know him over the past year and 9 months, I want to say that he does believe what he is saying. So it's not a lie. It's just you should be able to prove that you can complete the reconciliation to the specifications of the state auditor, and that the GAP team can get done, and the state audit team can get done, and that the 30th deadline, if that is a deadline for the state auditor, that it can be completed. As far as I'm concerned, we've already blown through the deadline when it comes to completing our own city audit by the state auditors. That was August 31st, and that's why we were not extended the third extension that was requested by Deputy Auditor Watts and the member of the Finance Committee, Josh Daniels. That third request to extend was not granted, and then that's why it was important to have that special counsel meeting and then that meeting with the state auditors with Deputy Auditor Martin Watts to determine a path moving forward. I don't know what that path is.
There is some confusion, and this is the question I've been asked most about this, because these things have been said and we're not quite sure about them. Now, the things I'm talking about, the 2.5 are about that number that could be lost if these books are not reconciled. That would impact Marion Area Transit, that would impact the Senior Center, that would impact the Police and Fire Department, and this date of September 30th. What are the deadlines here, and when does that $2.5 million become in jeopardy if things aren't reconciled Thursday?
Well, since this has never happened, I think we're all going to learn that timeline together. I honestly don't know, because I've never had to be concerned about this issue. Those deadlines have always been met months and even weeks before those deadlines. This has never been a concern up until now.
Just to be totally transparent here, after the meeting happened in late August, the special meeting about what was going on with the city's books, the auditor did release a statement to us and to the Marion Star. It was in the Star back then, and this is from City Auditor Robert Landon. We are still working with the State Auditor's Office. Now, this is September 8th. I want to get the date right. September 8th is when this was done. We are still working with the State Auditor's Office to work through the software issues and reconcile. As the State Auditor said, this isn't uncommon for cities to deal with. I am still recovering from COVID and find it unfortunate I didn't have a chance to defend myself from yet another witch hunt, but I don't expect anything more from the mayor and his cronies. The mayor continues to fail to lead and unite during a global pandemic, while our community also faces a drug epidemic. He is more concerned with political points than taking care of our community. And that's the city auditor on September 8th. Thoughts on that, Mayor?
No, it's not really worth any thoughts. That's just a rather inexperienced person saying something to defer and deflect from his own problems. That is not how I have governed. And it's important to keep in mind that the issues that we continue to talk about in the auditor's office, they're not political, they're self-inflicted, and that's sadomasochistic.
Well, I want to talk about the first part of this, where he talks about the issues, because this was the day after the meeting. So I guess the meeting happened the Tuesday after Labor Day. If I've said August, it's actually the Tuesday. It must have been September 7th that special meeting happened. This would have been the day after. Now, in his letter, it says this isn't uncommon, as the state auditors said, software issues. The office is trying to work through software issues. And that's pretty much given as the reason the books are not reconciled. Is that honest?
we have had this software program for about 12 years. So why was it not a problem with the same audit teams over the past 12 years, but now all of a sudden that he is in the position of the city auditor's office, it has become a problem? I don't have an answer to your question. I just simply can say it's never been a problem before, and the software's been around for 12 years. Why is it a problem now? If there was a problem with the software, why wasn't he coming to council and saying we need to upgrade the software because there's a problem with it? You didn't hear about a problem with the software until you heard about the fact that he couldn't reconcile the books to the specifications of the state auditors. You didn't hear about the software until he blew through the deadlines and asked for three extensions. You didn't hear about the software until we found out that the state auditors told him months and months ago that they were not performing the reconciliation to the specifications that the state auditor wants it to be.
Final question.
Again, it's defer, deflect, and not answering the question, and take responsibility for your actions.
This, I think, is an important question, and the only other question I have about this statement that was made, because it was published by the Marion Star, and I think rightly, you know, you have to report what is being released and what is being said, but half of this letter, which comes out of the special meeting the night before, which I guess would have been September 7th, is spent really focused on you and attacking you. You have said many times you are not the auditor's boss. Why attack you? And it's a personal attack, an absolute personal attack in the media.
Yeah, it's because what they do, what fire starters do, is they defer, they deflect, but they also telegraph what they're not doing, and they're not doing their job. And so it's a telegraph, but you have to read into what is actually being said. You're right. The problems in the city auditor's office has absolutely nothing to do with the mayor. I've said dozens and dozens of times that we are here, my administration and I are here to help, but we're not here to do his job that he was elected to do. I can't make it any more simple than that. We're here to help. We're not here to do your job. You are elected to do the job. Do the job.
And I hate to be a broken record on this one, because there are other things I want to talk about this morning, but we have talked about the resignation of the city auditor. And in the beginning, you did not want to speculate, which certainly is your prerogative, on if that was a good idea. After you had your meeting with the GAP team, I believe it was, you said if this money is lost, this money for transit and senior center and things of that nature, millions of dollars is lost, that yes, you think he should resign. When we are this close, if nothing else, when we're this close to the deadline that was set by the auditor's office, I would guess, that's what they said to the Star, Martin Watts said, if the books aren't reconciled Thursday, half of the only thing we've heard from the city auditor since this is just attacking you, saying things like software issues, and here we are, waiting to see what happens. And he's not back in the office yet. Now, could be COVID fallout. We really don't know. Should he be in this position at this point? I mean, more things continue to happen. That's why we continue to have ask this question. Should he go?
So we've talked about this before, not only with this elected official, but with other elected officials. In the state of Ohio, it is very difficult to remove somebody who has been elected by the people. And I think it should continue to be very difficult to do such a thing. We don't have recall elections in the state of Ohio like we just saw in California with the governor. So that's why it's difficult to get somebody removed from office. I think it should be up to the voters to to remove him and not to allow him to serve in any elected capacity because of what we have seen in his performance or lack of as the Marion City Auditor. And I think that's the first thing, is that. Now, if we do end up losing federal monies because of his incompetencies, derelictions of duties, misfeasance and malfeasance, then yes, I think if he has a shred of honor in his body, that he should resign, because it will be it will be caused by his inactions and everything that I just mentioned, if we lose those federal dollars. And again, I think it is paramount to stress, if we lose these federal dollars. But again, we as a city of Marion, we shouldn't even be in this situation right now. This shouldn't be something that we're even talking about. The audit should be in our rearview mirror, as it has been in years past since I've been involved with Marion Municipal Government. But it's not, and we have to deal with it, and we have to ask ourselves, why are we in this situation?
Why are we in this situation? In your opinion, you would know more than a lot of us would, being in City Hall. Not that the relationship with the City Auditor's Office is great right now, but why are we in this situation?
Well, I believe we're in this situation because somebody got elected to a position that he didn't really want. And when you don't really want it, you don't put your heart and soul into it. And it's not important. He doesn't see the position that he's been elected to do as an important position. And so I just think that, you know, we're in this situation because he's not doing his job and making sure that his subordinates are doing their job and meeting deadlines and making sure that everything that office is responsible for, in accordance with the Ohio Revised Code and the city's codified ordinance, is getting done. Quite frankly, I just don't think it's important to him.
Why do you think he didn't want the job?
I think just when you look back at his performance for the past year and to 9 months, I think it just shows that, you know, of this laissez-faire approach to deadlines and getting things done and making sure it's done right, I just don't think it matters to him. That's my perception. I will grant you that. It is my perception. But I just don't think he cares.
When somebody usually says that, the two things that go off in people's mind are, well, is somebody just collecting a paycheck, or do they have aspiration beyond their current position? Is there any of that in this, in your opinion?
You know, that'll be up for the voters to decide. And if the voters think that he has done a good job of city auditor, and they think that he has aspirations of higher political grandeur, then they'll have to decide at that point in time. But I think you have to look back at a person's record, their body of work, and certainly in this case, the body of work is not very good.
When the Columbus media came down here, what was your feeling on that, Channel 6?
Well, look, we know that 4, 6, 10, and 28 keep an eye on what's going on in the outlying county seats and counties that surround Franklin County. So it really doesn't surprise me. They have certain reporters that if there's something happening that they'll send a team up. So it's frankly not unusual for Columbus media market to keep an eye on county seats and counties in central Ohio.
And to wrap this up, because I want to talk about the ARPA money here in our final 10 minutes, but how do you describe this? We don't know what the end result is yet, but here we are, September 28th. Everything we've been through this year in regard to this office and the city auditor himself, how do you describe this year?
Wow, this year, I was talking to my directors just last week, and we determined that we spend the bulk of our time dealing with COVID and the misfeasance and malfeasance of the city auditor. And it shouldn't be that way. As I just previously stated a few moments ago, this audit should be in our rearview mirror. We should be confident that we can put a budget together for 2022. It's time to put that budget together right now. Right now we should be doing it. But it's a challenge to do it without a clean audit in the rearview mirror. So that's how I kind of look at things. It's been a challenge. None of these things were as a result of anything that I have done or any of the citizens in Marion have done. COVID is what it is. The city audit is what it is, but we do need to hold somebody accountable for their actions, or in this case, their inactions.
You know, I want to get on to the ARPA money, but there was a lot of talk in that special meeting about that, because Mr. Watts was there taking the questions, and there was even talk of a previous person who worked in the auditor's office, and there's talk of software. And we've talked about the buck stops here, but it's never really been, at the end of the day, who is responsible for this?
Well, in my opinion, it's the elected city auditor.
The ARPA money, where is that going? What's the update there?
Well, there's a piece of legislation before City Council that had its first reading last night, and there are a number of things in there dealing with ARPA. Great discussion by members of council, and I think that that's what it's all about. This is the only piece of legislation that has been brought forward to spend any of the ARPA money. I've seen no other pieces of legislation, so this is kind of a starting point. It doesn't spend all of the ARPA, but it spends a large chunk of this year's allocation. So I hope council can come together and agree on most or some or all of the things in this piece of legislation, and the things that they can't agree to, maybe they could change a few things and add a few things or delete a few things. Right now, it's in the hands of the legislative body of municipal government, but certainly next year, after the budget is passed, we know that there will be things in the 2020 budget that we will be allowed to reimburse ourselves for with that ARPA money. So my administration will bring legislation forward sometime after the budget's passed to ensure that we get reimbursed in accordance with the ARPA, and then that frees up other general fund dollars to do certain things. I was driving around this morning looking at some of the dead and dying trees. My goodness, we haven't had a proactive tree removal program since I was on city council. And even when I was on city council, it was only like $10,000. $10,000 in the early 2000s only got a couple trees removed. We've got hundreds of trees that need to be removed. That's not a direct qualifiable expense in ARPA, in my opinion. So what we do is we use it indirectly after we've reimbursed ourselves for a qualifiable expense. And that's what council is learning right now. We're all kind of learning together on what's qualifiable and what is not. What's a direct expense and what could be a direct expenditure in the city's budget in 2022.
Statewide, we had Tracy Kinsler on this morning, and she was talking about the booster shots becoming available for COVID-19, and our governor last week, Governor DeWine, is rolling out a new program for young people, Vax to School. We don't know a whole lot about it yet, but incentives for kids, school-age kids, to get the vaccination. What do you make of where we are now with COVID-19, hospital at near capacity, we're being told by Dr. Gingrich? Tracy said this morning 25% of the people afflicted with COVID right now are 18 and under. The numbers in the last 2 weeks are over 800. And here we are with Vax to School. What do you make of that whole thing?
Well, unfortunately, we lost the public relations battle on the COVID-19 fight a long, long time ago. And once you've lost that battle, I don't know that you get to fight it again. So those of us that got the vaccination when we were first eligible to get it, I suspect will be the same eligible people that will get the booster. Those that chose not to get it, and by the way, I want to add their choice, likely will not get their first vaccination shot. And I think it's almost kind of a live and let live. I don't personally agree with that. From a public policy standpoint, it would be much better if the vaccination rate in Marion City and Marion County were 70, 75, 80%. We wouldn't be dealing with these issues. But there is approximately 40 to 50% of the public that has chosen simply not to get it. And I don't know that there's a public relations campaign out there that will convince that percentage to get the vaccination.
Any thoughts on Vax to School? We don't know a whole lot about it yet, but another plan from the governor?
My wife's a teacher in the city schools. I got a brother who's a teacher in the city schools. I hear about what they see when it comes to COVID. I think that's important because we all agree that we want our kids in school. And if we want to keep them in school, then more people in the school environments, more parents, because it doesn't do any good to vaccinate all the school staff and then send the kids home to a household where nobody in the household is vaccinated. So I guess if you have school-aged children, you might want to think about getting the vaccination yourself if you truly believe that the best place for your child is in the classroom during the school year, which I happen to believe that's the best learning environment for them. You know, so I understand that the governor has to roll out a public relations campaign. I get it, but I just don't know if there's an effective public relations campaign out there that will convince the people who have chosen not to get the vaccination to ultimately get it, to keep the schools open.
Final question this visit, Mayor. The Democratic frontrunner in the race for governor seems to be Nan Whaley at this point. And last time she was on this program, I believe was the Monday after the Popcorn Festival, and she said she was in town and had a nice conversation with you without violating any confidences here. What was the tenor of the meeting with Mayor Whaley?
Well, I've known Mayor Whaley for a long time, we have worked together, and I remember when the shooting occurred in Dayton, I immediately reached out to her, and I said, I don't know what resources the city of Marion has, but if we have anything and you need it, I'm willing to provide it to you. So a good, solid relationship with Mayor Whaley, and I appreciate that relationship that we have been building over the years. I just saw her this past weekend. We communicate every now and then. It's not every day, it's not every week, but I know if I need to pick up the phone, and I know she knows if she needs to pick up the phone, that we can call upon one another to support each other in our capacities as mayor, and also to support one another in any other capacities that may be necessary.
Should she be elected governor, would you be interested in working in that administration?
You know, Scott, I get that question every year. Every time that a governor is a Democrat, I get that question. Every time there's a president who's a Democrat, I get that question. Every time I'm at the League of Women Voters, I get asked the question, am I going to finish this term or am I going to run for a higher office? You know, I was elected to this position, and as we sit right here talking on September the 28th at 10 a.m. in the morning, my every intention is to fulfill my commitment to the voters of the city of Marion and complete this term. What happens beyond that, I don't know. But certainly, if called upon to serve in a higher capacity, I would have to evaluate that and take a look at it. My first conversation is always going to be with my family and how it impacts my family. But right now, I am the mayor of the city of Marion, and contrary to what my political opponents may say, we have worked very hard in my tenure as mayor to lift Marion up and to lift all of Marion up. We do it in the Love Our Neighborhood program. We go after grants for police and fire. I will continue to do that because I believe that's what I was elected to do.
Just a side note to that, because the Republicans seem to be in such peril, we have a governor who's being who's serving during a pandemic, a Republican governor, and also being primaried for the first time in over 100 years, an Ohio governor has been primaried. And the fact that, as you said, you do have a pretty good relationship with Nan Whaley, would that increase the chance of possibly wanting to do something on that level, should it be offered?
You know, I would want Nan Whaley to focus on getting elected governor. I don't think she needs to be focused on what her cabinet might look like. I think that's presumptive and arrogant for a candidate to do that. So I would encourage her. I would ask her to stay focused on her campaign. We have a governor. I saw Governor DeWine on Friday at the grand opening of the Harding Museum and Library. I respect Governor DeWine. Governor DeWine has always treated me fair and square, and I appreciate that. We disagree on public policy issues, but as a human being, I think he's a good person, and I think he has gotten an unfair shake by the state legislature and taking away his powers and authorities when it comes to dealing with the pandemic. You know, he has a lot of controversy going on in his administration, and one has to ask oneself, why are there so many scandals in the governor's office? Has pay to play in Columbus, Ohio, and the state government become so prevalent that we don't even think it's a problem anymore? And it is a problem when you have pay to play at the levels that we have seen the former Speaker of the House and the governor and his administration involved with.
Here's a long ball with 45 seconds left to go. Last gubernatorial roundabout, you were chosen as a lieutenant governor position with Connie Pillich. That didn't turn out the way I think you would have wanted it. Would you consider that position with Nan Whaley, should it be asked or offered? And have you endorsed her yet, or will you endorse her?
Look, again, we talked about everything that's going on in the city of Marion. My plate is full right now. I need to get this audit behind us. We need to get a 2022 budget in place. We need to secure the federal funding that we have. We need to continue Love Our Neighborhood. I'd like to see the county land bank pick up their gate a little bit and tear down more houses. We've got more money coming at us. There are a lot of things that we have initiated and started. I want to make sure that those things continue to go forward. And to answer your question, first of all, let me just say what an honor it was to be selected to run for lieutenant governor of the state of Ohio. Something that, you know, I never thought would ever happen, didn't dream about it, but I was grateful for the opportunity, as short of a period that it was. I have told Nan Whaley that when it comes time for her to select her lieutenant governor, that she needs to pick somebody that will enhance her ticket, move it forward, and give her a greater chance of winning the gubernatorial election next November 2022. And so, no, we haven't talked any more other than that right there. I don't think having two mayors, we'll call it a big city mayor like Nan is, and a mid-sized city mayor like me, I'm not sure that that's a ticket that enhances the opportunities of success in that election. And Nan Whaley, again, I've already stressed that we are friends, and I am supporting her in her effort to become the next governor of Ohio.
Mayor, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. We don't have an agenda when we sit down here. There are no preconceived notions, and you answer the questions. And booking's the hardest part of this job, so I appreciate that more than you know. And we'll talk again before Halloween.
Thanks so much, and everybody be safe out there, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor of the City of Marion, Scott Schertzer, hopefully everything you wanted to know. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Great-grandchildren, brothers, sister, nieces, and nephews. Friends may call on Friday, October 1st from